Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving podcast. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, President and CEO of SCRC, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rañón, Executive Vice President.
Hi, Roberto. Hey, Marta.
Today, we have a special guest, Charity White Vogt, a licensed clinical social worker for the County of San Diego. Charity is an Assistant Medical Services Administrator for the County of San Diego Health and Human Service Agency, the Behavioral Health Services Adult and Older Adult Systems of Care. She has worked in the field of social work for over 20 years with an emphasis on trauma, culturally specific services, and systems integration in areas of mental health, substance abuse, primary care, and policy. And I understand now during this crisis, you're part of a very special county COVID-19 team as well.
Yes, that's correct. My role has shifted, as many of ours have, into addressing the immediate needs around responding to the COVID pandemic.
Well, welcome, Charity, and thank you for joining us. We're really thrilled that you're here because we want to talk about, especially during these times, caregiver stress and depression. There's the stay-home order, COVID-19, a lot of isolation, and caregivers already go through so much stress as caregivers, taking care of their loved ones, managing all the day-to-day activities, and now, you know, there's even more challenges. They can't leave their home, many of them, and they're caring for people who are extremely vulnerable and susceptible to contracting COVID-19. So this is a very poignant and an opportunity to speak today.
Yes, Roberto, I'm so glad that we're talking about this. And it's really great that we have Charity here with us because, you know, a lot of our classes that we have throughout the county, we hear from caregivers who obviously tell us how challenging it is to be a caregiver. But now during this social isolation period, it's adding another level of stress. And we've even had to shift how we talk about self-care with our caregivers. Usually we talk about, hey, don't stay home, go outside, you know, interact with people, go to the movies as a form of managing that stress. But obviously now you can't do that. So what do we tell caregivers now? And maybe Charity, you can, you know, give us some suggestions or give us some tips.
Sure. I think there is absolutely no doubt that this situation is just very difficult for people. And I think caregivers in this particular situation are no exception. In fact, I think that they are at a greater disadvantage or a greater struggle because they are, as you mentioned, Martha, they are limited in their capacity to do potentially the things that they once did to really kind of address some of that self-care or address some of those issues around overburden or feeling overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of things that we often, when we're working with caregivers, we try to support them with strategies. Much of those resources would center really around things that they potentially can do in or around the home. Granted, this is not an ideal situation, but we have to be creative. And so one of the things that we may want to really look at is focusing on things that might bring folks some sort of relief or stress management. And that could be through writing, documenting, journaling. Another option is utilizing our telehealth platforms. So this has just been a big shift across our system of care, is how do we utilize telehealth, telecommunications, these various wonderful web-based platforms, though they can be clunky at times, how do we utilize those to really reach out to one another?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned all that because, you know, we work very hard to teach family caregivers to care for themselves. And Martha mentioned this in all her classes about self-care. They always include that. Part of it is getting help. Part of it is getting some respite. And right now, especially right now, the daycares, adult daycare centers are closed. So that break, that relief that used to be a part of your routine is no longer available to you. What there is in-home care, but then there's resistance from some family members because they're afraid. They're afraid to get somebody to come in and might get them sick, or their loved one that they're caring for sick. Yet there are still people that are using in-home care. But these types of tips on ways to maybe engage themselves, mentally stimulation, that's very important, because the outside stuff is not as available anymore.
And I guess what I'm hearing from Charity here is really to be flexible during this time, to allow yourselves to try different things. That this is different for all of us, that this is the first time we've all been going through something like this. So our normal way of doing things has shifted. And now this is our new normal. I mean, we talk about that all the time for caregivers. And I like that you introduced the idea of being creative, even within your own home. What else can you do? I wonder if we could also talk about a little bit about how do you reach out to maybe the services, people like the programs that you work with, Charity, because a lot of caregivers tend to be reluctant, hesitant to reach out. So how do we make sure that people do, especially during this time, stay connected?
So I think folks can reach out to a number of different resources. Definitely SCRC. I think we have a number of resources on our Behavioral Health Services website. This is intended to assist the caregivers with connecting to various resources in the community, whether that is connecting, potentially recognizing, for example, if they're feeling excessive amounts of anxiety, or they're feeling run down, or they're excessively tired, excessively anxious. We have resources on our website and through SCRC to guide folks to that appropriate place. This might look like reaching out to your primary care physician to potentially connect with your federally qualified health center. In some instances, as we know, in many instances, telehealth is the only option right now, or that's limited in amount of access. But providers have made an excellent job of making these services available via telehealth.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think the whole county has really done a great job of pivoting and going full on telehealth, phones, emails, websites, any way outside of being face to face in public with people to be able to continue to provide services to families. At SCRC, we feel our programs and services are essential because we provide so much emotional support along with our assessments and our care planning and helping guide families. But one of the things that has happened more so now, especially during this time, and we've always done this, but now we're doing it more, is checking in, phone calls to the families that are our clients, and checking in and just seeing how they're doing. And I'll tell you that they're really grateful for these phone calls, and we're getting some feedback. There's a lot of isolation. People are feeling so overwhelmed.
I gotta share that our clinical staff has been feeling a lot of these calls. And what we are hearing from the public is, thank you so much for having a live person answering my call. This is exactly what I needed. I didn't know where to begin. And I keep hearing, ask for help, and I didn't know where to turn. And it's now more than ever so important to have that connection. To, I keep saying in a couple of the classes that I've been doing virtually, connecting with others hasn't been prohibited. We can still connect via Zoom, via all these platforms, phone call even, but it's really difficult sometimes to do. So I am glad that people are feeling positive about connecting.
Yeah, I think that encouraging, continuing to encourage caregivers to reach out is essential. I do know, and we have received some feedback from folks that it's not the same, and we know it's not the same. You know, people like to have that in-touch communication. They like to be able to sit in a group and share their experiences. And so, just acknowledging for our caregivers that, yeah, you're entitled to feel that way. You're entitled to feel, you know, this just doesn't feel right to me. But how can we all work together to do the best we can in this situation, knowing that it's only temporary, hopefully, that it's a temporary solution to a problem that as we move forward, we can gradually potentially reintegrate some of that face-to-face or some of that in-person contact that is so desired and so beneficial to overall caregiving support.
Right. And this situation right now, and again, and I opened up with caregiving is already very stressful. When you're caring for somebody with a chronic disabling condition like Alzheimer's or, you know, something that is requires a lot of care and supervision, your stress levels are really high. You're already at a greater risk for developing burden and a caregiver, perceived caregiver burden, and as well as clinical depression as a family caregiver. Now you add the stay home, isolation, limited access to the outside world. It just really, really exacerbates the situation.
Let me tell you, and I don't know, Charity, if you've had this experience, but especially with people who you're serving and during this time, but I even was having a hard time at the beginning of this whole situation. You know, I'm a very social person. The work that we do is very, you know, connecting with people. And I found myself having to assess how I was feeling so that I could process in order to move forward with, you know, helping with my children with homeschooling and working at the same time and juggling all of these things. And but I know mentally I was feeling very stressed, a lot of anxiety, and also because of the unknowns. We don't know where this is going. We don't know how we're going to come out of this. I'm sure we're going to be fine afterwards and maybe more resilient, but the emotional part of me was having a hard time dealing with this. So I don't know if you can talk to that and a little bit more.
Sure. I think that the first step is recognizing, just like you did, Martha, that is how you're feeling. That's where you are. And I think that most people are in the same boat. Most of us, including myself, have felt a very, it's been a significant adjustment period to go to this, you know, at home all the time and isolated, not be able to go to the store, and then you have to wear a mask, and just these various different our lives look very different. And so I think the first step that we always want to encourage is that your feelings and experiences are valid. So however you're feeling, if your anxiety is through, you know, the roof, or you're feeling really depressed, those experiences are valid, and they're your experiences. So that's kind of the first step. I think the other thing that we know is that ensuring that people aren't setting expectations for themselves that are unrealistic. We're living in a time right now that we aren't as potentially productive as we once were. And so I think kind of normalizing some of those expectations and giving yourself permission to be okay with where you are is a first step in really supporting that self-care.
And I one of the things that I was going to mention, and you know, recognizing the stress, acknowledging the stress, but knowing what that stress looks like for you as an individual. So, you know, are you having more difficulty focusing and making decisions? Is there changes in your sleep? Are you feeling more overwhelmed than you normally would? Looking at those types of things and kind of saying, okay, yeah, this is what stress looks like for me. But then what do you do about it? I mean, what are some ideas or what are some tips on what can you do to help, I don't know, relieve the stress or make yourself overcome, you know, those feelings?
So I think that you know, first recognizing, as you mentioned, the something that's different for you. So it and this is a challenge to do right now, because normally you would say, okay, if you're feeling an excessive amount of fatigue, if you're irritable, if you have muscle tension and aches, if you're having trouble sleeping, if you're sweating, if you're nauseated, excessive headaches, etc. Those are all physical symptoms of excessive stress, right? But right now, because our schedules are so uncertain, especially related to the things Martha said, there's so much anxiety, uncertainty in the world. You're being bombarded with messages from the media and who to believe. And so I think that in a normal environment, we would say, yes, point to these physical symptoms, emotional symptoms. But right now, it's challenging, right? So how do you know what's normal versus, you know, wow, I need to seek the help of a professional. So all that to say, you know yourself best. And so I think that we need to be our best advocates and monitor kind of these feelings and physically and emotionally how we're feeling. That being said, I think there are things you really draw on your previous ways of doing, of managing your stress, but they may just look different. So for example, if in the past I used to do a lot of outdoor physical activities to relieve stress, maybe now, or I used to go to the gym to relieve stress, maybe now managing my physical stress doesn't look like that because I don't have, there's a gym not available to me. So what do I do different? Can I walk? Can I go for a walk in my neighborhood? Can I lay out a mat on my back patio or in my living room and do deep breathing exercises or meditation or do an online class for, there's several YouTube videos for exercise or several videos for meditation. So how can I continue some of the self-care strategies I used before, but in a different creative format?
Well, and I think one
Those
of the
so
really
great tips.
Yeah. And one of the things, I'm sorry for interrupting. I was just going to say, one of the nice things is, you know, music is so important, you know, calming, nice music. And it's very therapeutic for yourself as an individual. But if you're also caregiving for somebody with Alzheimer's and you put on some music that is calming and soothing, it will might help them in whatever situation they might be going through because they're so isolated. You know, we've had some family members who have tell our clinicians, you know, mom's having a real hard time understanding why no one visits or why she can't go to the store. And so those types of situations might be creating additional behavioral problems in the home. And as a caregiver, you're dealing with that along with all your own. And so therefore, you know, looking at techniques that might help both situations helps you calm and relax. And then at the same time, kind of helps the person that your loved one that you're caring for maybe feel a little bit more calm and relaxed and less stressful.
This is why I really like the whole aspect of creativity and flexibility with what you've been talking about, Charity, because I know when I was a caregiver, it was very important for the person I was caring for to be involved with gardening and just plants in general and getting your hands dirty within, you know, with the dirt. And so if this is something you're able to do, it might relieve some of that stress. You get to stay, you go outside and take a breath or two while that person is involved with maybe repotting a little plant that's in the patio.
Yeah, I agree, Martha. And you know, the one of the things that I know is very helpful for families, especially during times of stress and anxiety and these fears that they might be having right now, is to really reach out and get some help, mental health, emotional support services, either through the county, some of your specific programs, Charity, that the county offers, especially during this time. There's telephone online calls, places that people can call when they're feeling extremely overwhelmed. But I know that the other part of it is people feel better when they have a plan, when they've talked to somebody, an expert. And so if somebody is feeling that way, they can contact Southern Caregiver Resource Centers and start the process, because we're providing all our services online. We're providing telehealth, phone calls. We have online support group now and classes online. So people can actually go through and meet with a clinician, have an assessment done, help them develop a care plan, especially right now, and then for long-term as well, and including, you know, tapping into the educational programs that are available. It's very important to plan and try to control a little bit, you know, what is that saying? Accept the things that we cannot change and focus on the things that we can. So it's very important that we consider these types of things and reach out to all the different resources. And again, you know, it's important to reach out and connect and not feel isolated, because you're as isolated as a phone call right now. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank Martha Rañón for co-hosting and sharing her stories in another stimulating discussion about caregiving, and our guest, Charity Wright Booth of the County of San Diego Behavioral Health Services. And I want to remind our audiences that if you're providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness, it is a sign of strength. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. All our programs and services are currently available virtually. Follow us on Facebook for more podcasts. And remember, SCRC is a nonprofit organization. And we provide all our services due to the generosity of our donors and community partners. If you'd like to make a taxable donation, please go to our website and click on the Donate tab. And remember, SCRC is here for you, caring for those who care for others. Thank you.